tonight we have a new set of notes for everyone, and there are notes on the front and the back of these. So if I can get a couple of fellows to help, one take this side and one take the other side, and we can get them out. We're going to deal tonight with the humanity of Christ. There are varied views concerning the humanity of Christ. We looked at his deity. Tonight we're going to look at his humanity. Not only was he fully God, but he was also fully man. And we know that from the Scripture. There are those, as he's passing that out tonight, just kind of as an introduction, there are some who believe in what we refer to as the impeccability of Christ. In other words, there was absolutely no way it was impossible. He could not. Not only was he without sin, but he could not sin. That's known as the impeccability of Christ. That is a view that is out there concerning the humanity of Christ. We're going to go through and look at a lot of things in detail. Tonight we're just going to work our way down through all of this. All right, everybody got one? Everybody ready to go? Seat belts buckled? Okay. We're going to work our way through here, all right? Don't worry. All right. We will work through as far as we get, all right? All right. When you talk about the humanity of Christ, not only his deity, but also his humanity. Specifically, we're going to talk about his humanity tonight. When you speak of the humanity of Christ, you'll see number one in your notes, you have to start at the foundational place. There's only one place to begin when you talk about the humanity of Christ, and that's to start the virgin birth. I mean, you start at his birth. You know, we use these phrases a lot. I think everybody in here, you've heard me say it enough. One of the things that we are good at doing, we are good at sometimes using those long theological words that sometimes we've heard a lot in our lives, but a lot of times we don't know really what they mean. We often refer to Jesus Christ as the incarnate Christ. All right, that word incarnate that we often use, the word incarnate, means in flesh. That's what the word incarnate means. So when we say the incarnate Christ, what we're talking about is God in the flesh. All right? So when we talk about the humanity of Christ, we see that he is God in the flesh, who came and dwelt among us. Number two in your notes, as we work our way down through here, Scripture clearly teaches that Jesus was conceived by a miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. There was no man involved. There was no human male part involved. It was all done. It was done by God himself. The child was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 1, I'll give you these references. Matthew chapter 1. And we'll begin in verse 18, and then we'll go over to Luke chapter 1 and look at the other synoptic gospel that details his birth. Only two of them that do that. Out of the four gospels, only two of them, and it's two of the synoptic gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew and Luke are the only two Gospels who detail the birth of Christ, all right? So Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, or it took place this way, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together she was found with child, and you ought to underline this, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. That word espoused means betrothed. Before the consummation of the wedding, Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. I mean, it was pretty much at that point they're married. It just had not been formally consummated yet, all right? And so we see here that she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And you can go on through and read the rest of those verses, and it outlines and details more of those things that are there. Let's go to Luke chapter 1, and let's look at the other synoptic gospel, Luke chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 34 through verse 30, verse 34 and verse 35. Luke chapter 1, verse 34 and verse 35. Then said Mary unto the angel, in other words, this is a very legitimate question, and basically what Mary is asking is how in the world is this going to happen since I don't know a man? I know not a man. In other words, there's no relationship. There's no sexual relationship there at all. So how in the world was this going to happen? Verse 35 gives the answer. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. All right? And for that reason, he shall be called the Son of God. Why? Because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Ghost of God. All right? So if we go to number 3 in your notes, you know, the first question that comes about, then there are, and let me say this, there are critical doctrinal implications for the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And I've listed 3 of them for you there, and I just want to kind of walk through them. Number A there, when you see A, it shows that salvation ultimately must come from the Lord. It's God in the flesh. All right? So salvation ultimately must come from the Lord. All right? Can't come from any other, can't come from anywhere else. That is the reason that Jesus was able to say in John 14 and verse number 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. It's the only way you can get there. So it shows that salvation ultimately must come from the Lord. B, the virgin birth made possible the uniting of full deity and full humanity in one person. You had the Holy Ghost, and you had Mary. Okay, so we get the full deity and the full humanity of Christ in one individual, in one human being, in one person. Okay, so that is another one of the doctrinal implications of the virgin birth. C, the virgin birth also makes possible Christ's true humanity, and I want you to notice this, without inherited sin, all right? And that is a key point right there. Because if Jesus Christ were born with inherited sin, then we might as well all go home, okay? If that was the case. Because then, as a result of that, and here's the implication of that, if that was the case, if Jesus Christ was born with inherited sin, then here's the problem that we have tonight, is there is no way then he could have been the spotless, sinless sacrifice that was necessary to pay the debt for you and I that we could not pay. So we might as well go back to the sacrifice of the bulls and the goats and all of those things, if that is the case. So the implication is significant when it comes to the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Number 4, in your notes, Jesus had to deal with certain human weaknesses and limitations. You know, a lot of people wonder, well, did Jesus ever get tired? Yeah, he did. Did he ever get thirsty? All right? And you'll notice I listed some things for you. Well, number 1, Jesus had a human body. Okay, that's what he had. It was a human body. Did his body bleed? Yeah, it did. Okay. Did he have bones? Yeah, he did. Okay. You know, how do we know that he bled? Well, they put the crown of thorns on him, and what happened? The blood flowed from where it pierced him. Okay. So we know that he was flesh and blood. Right? That's what he was. Jesus had a human mind. Now, there are some who really, they kind of struggle with that. Jesus had a human mind.